When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Let me give you a DeMar Hamlin update. The Bills say DeMar Hamlin showing signs of improvement. And guys, sometimes we're repeating previous reports, but, and I read from a Diana Russini tweet, and I didn't understand it was part of her tweet earlier, so they credit Diana Russini, saying that she is expecting an update on DeMar Hamlin's condition later today. I'm not sure if this is the update or not, but the reason it's hard to tell is because every update we've gotten so far, and there have been how many now? At least four distinct pieces of information we've gotten, some from the uncle, from the team, where oxygen levels are increasing. We heard that. Doctors are happy with the signs, they feel good about the positive signs. They're seeing the direction that it's going in, things like that. And the latest is from the team. This is what Diana Russini tweeted this morning. The team is expected to practice, and then the media will speak to players. This is the first time we will hear from Bills players and head coach Sean McDermott. And here's what I was referring to. I was told we should also have an update on DeMar Hamlin this morning. Now, I don't know if this Bills say DeMar Hamlin showing signs of improvement is that update. It's great news. If there is an additional update coming and it's something like that, even better, right? So that's the DeMar Hamlin info up to the moment. Meantime, Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals star quarterback, of course, at the press conference was asked if the NFL had asked him if they wanted to play this weekend.
We have not been asked that. I'm sure if you polled the locker room, there'd be mixed votes on that. Personally, I think playing is going to be tough, but you know, there's people that want to play too, and there's people that don't. And so personally, I probably want to play. You know, I think getting back to, you know, as normal as you can, as fast as you can, is personally how I deal with these kind of things. But like I said, everybody has a different way of dealing with it.
Ben Baby, ESPN Cincinnati Bengals reporter, is with us now. Ben, good morning.
Morning, Max. How are you doing?
Good. But listen, all the updates we've had about DeMar Hamlin so far, it's not like he's out of the woods or anything. He's in critical condition, but it's all been positive pieces of information, so I'm happy about that. How has the Bengals organization been handling things since the event where DeMar Hamlin's heart stopped on the field Monday Night Football?
Yeah, you know, from the moment it happened, you know, I think the one thing that we've heard from everybody involved is that this is an unprecedented situation. So as they even got back into the building on Tuesday, as players got their lifts in, you know, those inside the building were trying to figure out how to manage this and how to move forward. They understood that, yes, that, you know, that they started preparing for the Ravens on Tuesday, but with that, there was also a sense of trying to figure out how the emotions were going to be from the players, from the staff, and we heard that yesterday. And speaking to Joe Burrow and DJ Reader, the Bengals defensive tackle, you could tell there was a conflicted set of emotions from both of those guys. And Burrow, you know, who can be guarded in these press conferences, was very open and honest yesterday, more so than I've probably seen him. And I've been in every press conference and heard everything he's ever spoken publicly since he declared for the draft at LSU. And I remember asking him, you know, what's the message like, you know, as you get ready for a short week? And Burrow was literally at a loss for words. It took him several seconds before he ended up trying to, you know, convey the message he wanted to. And throughout his time yesterday, he spoke for about 16 minutes. You could tell that just like in the clip you played, that the players understand that there's a game, and everybody inside the building understands there's a game to play, but the circumstances are incredibly tough, and you know, they're having to try to, you know, wrestle with the emotions of what they saw, which I don't think any of us really truly understand what fully happened on that field except for the guys who are on the field, and then, you know, trying to get ready to continue to do their jobs, which they know they kind of have to do.
Ben, you talk about doing your job and getting ready and back in the building. The one young man that I wanted to ask you about, because you're down on the ground floor in Cincinnati, how is T. Higgins doing?
You know, T. Higgins he's doing okay from everything that I've gathered. Excuse me. And I think the thing that people, you know, don't realize, and I've said this a couple of times since Monday, is that T. does know Damar Hamlin. This wasn't just, you know, an incident between two guys who just happened to be on the same field. You know, Damar Hamlin is from the Pittsburgh area where T's fellow wide receiver Tyler Boyd is from. Tyler Boyd holds a camp in Pittsburgh every year. And Damar also, as we all know now, does a lot for that Pittsburgh community as well, and has always had a heart for that community. And he was at that camp last year. T. Higgins was also there, and they actually spent an extensive amount of time together. And when that play happened, from those that I've spoken to, you know, it looked like just a football play, and T. didn't think anything of it until he saw Damar stay down, and that's when he fully understood. I saw the reaction from T. on the field, and I know T. extensively talked to him a good amount in the locker room when we see him, and he is someone who is going to be wondering if there's anything differently he could have done. I know there's been a lot of conversation about whether, you know, this was something that, you know, there was anything malicious on his end. I think anybody that you speak to will tell you that there was nothing malicious about that play, even if you are someone, you know, and I think targeting in college football has done a lot to change player behavior, but the actions that would even trigger that rule, there was nothing that was indicated that would be the case. You saw Damar Hamlin's family indicate to Coley Harvey that they wanted to that they wanted T. Higgins to kind of be left alone, and that they didn't want the blame to be placed there. But we talked to Zach Taylor yesterday. He said that T. is doing okay from what we gathered. He was on the field yesterday at practice in the walkthrough, and we'll see how he continues to progress through this week, because, you know, it is a challenge whenever you hurt somebody in a physical sport to try to continue that.
Ben Baby, ESPN Cincinnati Bengals reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Ben, what have the Bengals heard at all, if anything, about the likelihood of them actually making the game up against the Bills?
You know, right now that remains yet to be seen. You know, like I said, from the moment kind of the game was suspended and postponed, and when they got back in, they just went ahead and started preparing for Baltimore. And you know, I think that kind of also helped them regain a sense of normalcy too. You know, from those I spoke to, they just said, you know, I guess this is just what we do. And in terms of what's going to go on with the game, you know, from what we've heard from the league, what we've heard from those on both sides, is that, you know, it sounds like, you know, they're all waiting for the next step. It's going to be very difficult, like Joe Burrow said yesterday, for that game to really take place. We know that the NFL said that the Week 18 schedule will stay as planned. The Bengals got their game time for Baltimore yesterday. They'll play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So that leaves, you know, whatever happens with this Bills-Bengals game still in limbo. And there have been a lot of conversations about how it may affect potential seeding, all of that stuff. Burrow came out yesterday and said that they want to do whatever is best for Buffalo. I think that's been the sentiment that you get from everybody in Cincinnati, those in the league, those, you know, everyone remotely involved in this situation, is that they want to just support the Bills as best as they can. And to be honest, you know, all the talk about seeding, you know, and there are some fans who think that's a big deal. You got to remember, the number four seed won the Super Bowl last year, and they beat the Bengals, who were also a number four seed. So seeding, at the end of the day, for a playoff tournament, in the grand scheme of things right now, it is a very minuscule thing to talk about when you're talking about the situation that we saw on Monday.
Ben Baby, mm-hmm. ESPN Cincinnati Bengals reporter, thank you very much.
All right, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, you know, we've naturally talked about how the Bills are coping with this, right? How do the Bengals, we talked about this a bit yesterday, guys, compartmentalize and get ready for Baltimore? Tough team, right? Like, what do they do?
It's a tough situation all the way around. But, you know, you try to separate them as much as you can and focus in on playing. Having been a guy on the field in situations like that occurred on Monday night, it is – I couldn't even – I mean, it's just – it's hard to explain. It's like anything that you would go through in your life from a tragedy standpoint, losing a loved one, whatever it may be, you try to focus in on something and then your mind goes right back to it. You know, I played in that 97 game and my mind, you know, even though I was trying to focus to finish up the game, but my mind continued to stay on Reggie the entire time, no matter what the situation is. I mean,
you say 97 game and Reggie, can you just quickly tell people?
Oh, in 1997, when we played the Detroit Lions, when I was with the New York Jets, and Reggie Brown, a linebacker, you know, needed to have CPR, passed out on the field after a tackle, and had to be revived and put into the ambulance, but we continued the game. And we, you know, you're trying to stay focused because it was a playoff matchup between the Jets and Detroit. The winner goes to the playoffs, the loser goes home. So we had all of that at stake for us, but yet and still, the focus was on Reggie Brown. That was the main focus, is like, what's going on with him, even though you're on the field trying to play a football game.
Wow, yeah, and, you know, it's one thing to compartmentalize when some bad thing happens, and sports is the escape a lot of the time. On the other hand, this was a direct result of the very nature of the sport you're playing. And then you have to get back on the field and do it. You know, why? I can't imagine. It must be extremely difficult.
I mean, it was extremely difficult and scary.
I can't even imagine. All right, look, we're going to continue to have updates on the condition of DeMar Hamlin throughout the day on ESPN Radio. We have much more KJM coming right up.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson missed his 13th straight practice. Lamar has not suited up since injuring his knee December 4th. Let's not forget, when he was playing, he had a fourth quarter lead in every single game this season, and the Ravens were in first place in the AFC North. Okay,
ooh, that's even the one that they lost to the Fins, huh?
That's right. That's Lamar. With Lamar. Without Lamar, the offense has basically been cut in half. So, of course, he famously has not gotten his new contract, even after Deshaun Watson, who is not nearly as accomplished as Lamar in the league, never won an MVP, all the whole kind of thing. Deshaun Watson got $230 million guaranteed.
The whole kind of thing.
Joe Burrow's going to get $200-plus million, you know that, guaranteed.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, all of them. Who's next?
Is Joe Burrow going to get $231?
I think so.
You think he'll get over the guarantee?
I don't think so.
I thought I read somewhere that no, you know what it was? It was the Chargers. Never mind. It was Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Chargers, Spanos was, I don't know which Spanos, but one of them was like, yeah, we certainly want to pay him, but we're not gonna, you know, he already put it out there.
Who wants to trade for Justin Herbert?
It feels like Deshaun Watson, I mean, he reset the market to a degree that is almost unattainable.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, of course, at the press conference. Will Lamar Jackson be ready for the postseason?
You know, I'm just probably going to leave all that stuff alone. You know, I'm going to focus on the game and just get ready to coach our guys and have our guys get ready to play the game.
So, you know, we've speculated about it. I think maybe if I'm Lamar Jackson, I want that money. I'm not playing hurt. When I feel good, I'm a play, especially in the playoffs. Since you have a fourth quarter lead in every game, that means you could win the Super Bowl if you're healthy. Jameson Hensley, ESPN Baltimore Ravens reporter. What's the latest with Lamar returning?
Yeah, it's now it's officially 1 month without Lamar because he got injured December 4th in that game against the Denver Broncos, and he just has not been healthy enough to go back out there. I know there's a lot of speculation of, you know, contract issues and if that's being related to it, but every time I have seen Lamar, it's not like he's walking around and you know, everything's fine. When I saw him in the last game against Pittsburgh in the locker room, still walked with a little bit of a hitch. So he's obviously not all the way back. And I think that's kind of the frustrating part here is that when, you know, Adam Schefter reported that he had a PCL sprain with a knee, typically players will come back about 1 to 3 games. Now we're up to, if he doesn't play this game on Sunday and he hasn't been out on the practice field, it would be his 5th straight game. So just kind of a lot of questions surrounding it. You know, is the injury a little bit more severe than initially thought? But the Ravens have been very, very tight-lipped about it. We have not spoken to Lamar Jackson since he got injured, which caused all of this speculation right now. But at this point, it's been now over, you know, a little bit over a month that he's been out there and not been on the practice field. So you have to wonder, playoffs are just around the corner, will he be out there?
Jameson, please tell me I'm wrong on this one, but there does feel to me a sense of the last couple of times I've heard Coach Harbaugh talk about Lamar, it seems like there's a little bit of an uneasiness about it where it seems awkward. It seems just weird. Am I overreading into that situation, or is that accurate since you're boots on the ground?
No, I mean, I think it's a frustrating situation where you're getting ready to get to the playoffs and you don't have the best player on your team out there on the practice field. But I don't think you can't say, oh, he's frustrated with Lamar. It's more, I think, the situation in itself. But, I mean, a week ago I asked him because last year we saw with Lamar Jackson – he missed the last 4 games of the season with an ankle injury. And I know with every passing week, people are thinking, you know, is Lamar Jackson not going to be returning at all this year? So I asked him last week, is Lamar Jackson going to play again this year? And he kind of gave me a little smile and said, sure, of course. And then I asked him again, you just heard the sound bite right there. And I asked him again yesterday, is he going to be ready for the postseason? And he does not want to be. This time it kind of pivoted where he did not want to talk about the situation at all. And it's just when you hear him talk about it and you're not getting a lot of information, you just kind of wonder where things are as far as, you know, Lamar Jackson coming back and if he's going to be ready enough to play. But it's hard sometimes to read with Harbaugh because he wants to be so tight-lipped. He doesn't want to give competitive advantages the team, so he doesn't want to talk about injuries that much. But I think it's just very clear that, you know, he would prefer to have Lamar Jackson out there on the practice field. He hasn't been out there, and I think that's where the frustration stems from. He would want to have his best player out there, and so far he hasn't been out there.
Jameson Hines, the ESPN Ravens reporter, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jameson, when you look at the situation with Lamar, if he misses his game, it'll be his 5th game in as many as 4-plus weeks. And the offense obviously is nowhere near the same as when he's underneath the center. Do you think this will make the Ravens think different about the way they should approach the offense of playmakers this offseason?
Yeah, and I mean, the problem is, if they don't get a deal done with Lamar Jackson this offseason, they're going to have to put the franchise tag on him. And that tag's going to cost a little over $45 million. That's going to take a huge chunk of the salary cap room where it's going to limit what they're going to be able to do as far as get those offensive playmakers in there. And, this offense, since Lamar Jackson's been out, and you always kind of wonder, who has the most leverage in this situation? Because, with Lamar, this is now the 2nd straight year he's missing games, important games in December and January because of injury. But without Lamar Jackson, the Ravens have had the worst offense in the NFL. They're averaging 11.8 points in the four games without Lamar Jackson, worst in the NFL. And you know, offensively, the wide receivers, they don't have Rashad Bateman. He's out for the season with a foot injury. Devin Duvernay, he's also out for the season. So they're very limited in what they have at wide receiver. At running back, you have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, both coming back from season-long knee injuries. So they are just very, very limited offensively. And I think the one hope that they had was Lamar Jackson coming back and being as fully recovered as possible and adding that dynamic to the offense. But without Lamar Jackson, they have just consistently showed they can't get into the end zone. And if they can't get Lamar Jackson signed to a long-term deal, I don't know how much cap room they're going to have to add offensive playmakers around him.
Jameson Hensley, ESPN Baltimore Ravens reporter. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you so much, guys.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. See, I'm just saying again, if I'm Lamar, like, I don't see any reason that this, well, there are always reasons a team can't win a Super Bowl, but I see reasons why they can. Again, fourth quarter lead, never, they're leading the division at the time that he got hurt. Just, by the way, same thing last year, right? And they had a fourth quarter lead in every game. Means you can win the Super Bowl, to me. That's what that means. And they were my preseason pick. I never got off them. He's super motivated, Lamar, but I don't know if I'd be motivated to play right now. I'd be motivated, especially without a contract. I'd be motivated to play when the games matter the most.
How many preseason picks did you have
One.
In the AFC?
One. I took the Ravens. I've never gotten off it.
Seemed like you would have taken Cincinnati.
Don't you think
the
Don't you think if I would have taken Cincinnati preseason, I would be on them right now?
No, I'm asking. I don't remember.
No, I took them to make the playoffs. You said they wouldn't make the playoffs.
Before we go to break?
Yeah.
It's not just when the game I feel like I would be responsible to play when I feel like I'm 100% healthy when I have my deal.
Right.
If I'm the difference between us being a Super Bowl team or not.
But as Key said, Jay, now imagine he wins the Super Bowl.
I don't have to win the Super Bowl to get the bag that I deserve.
Yeah, but you can get even a better bag.
I hear you, but at what cost? If I don't feel if I'm 100% healthy, at what cost?
Actually, I think
I've already put my
But
this
as
year.
You said, but Jay, as you said earlier, no one's ever 100% healthy. But if he's healthy enough to play and he's taking the rest of the regular season, he's going to be the best version of what he could be come playoff time. And to me, Key, is the, yes or no? Could they win the Super Bowl if that's the case? Could they?
Yeah, they can win the Super Bowl.
Is Dak Prescott a strength?
And they can win the Super Bowl too.
Is Dak Prescott a strength or a weakness? Lamar is the strength of the Baltimore Ravens.
God.
Is Dak a strength or a weakness for the Cowboys?
Yes, they can win.
That's coming up. Keyshawn,
J. Will, and Max. When they clinch.
These teases.
Once they clinch, yes. One of these years.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We are right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's the question of the moment. Is Dak Prescott a strength or a weakness for the Dallas Cowboys? Is he a strength or a weakness? Key,
Is Dak Prescott a strength or a weakness for the Cowboys?
I think he's a strength. And the reason is because he does things that the guy behind him and Cooper Rush can't do. Okay? So when you have that extra quarterback that has the ability to make a throw or two here or there, it allows you to do certain things offensively. We know what they are. They are a team that wants to run the football, play action pass, and keep the turnovers down and play defense. We know what that is. But when you have a guy like a Tom Brady, like a Aaron Rodgers, a guy that can make a throw when you need him to, that's a strength. And I think they have that in Dak Prescott. He doesn't have to throw it 50 times. I just need him to third down here. I need you to be efficient there. I need you to maybe take a shot here in completion, and I think you can do that.
Can I answer something
real
quick?
Yeah, that's certainly one way to look at it. Go ahead, Jay.
That's the only way to look at it.
Has he had the success of Josh Allen? No.
No.
And Aaron Rodgers? No. Patrick Mahomes? No. But I'm going to go back to college basketball for a second because I remember the narrative about this coach used to be, just can't do it when he gets there. That was Jay Wright.
Right.
For the longest time. One of the best coaches just can't get over the hump. Then that dude got over the hump twice, and then is he one of the greatest ever? Mm-hmm. I saw how quickly it changed. So it takes –
you know why, Jay? Because those moments.
I understand.
It's not fair. It's just the way it is. Or maybe it is fair. That's – you don't get to play out the universe a billion times. You have this life, these moments.
But we watch lesser quarterbacks win championships because it's – panned out the right way.
Yeah, so that's true.
The talent is there. It's just a matter of it culminating.
Let me tell you how I think of it, because Key, you said that's the only way to think about it. I certainly think it's a legitimate way, what you just said, to think about it. But let me give you another way. I'll suggest this, okay? When you say, is it a strength or a weakness on the team, you may have a team that is strong in almost every area, right? There's no perfect team, but everywhere you look, there's a strength. Then it becomes about the relative strength. So, for example, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good. I think he was but to say, is he a strength of the team? You see that, in fact, he's not one of the stronger pieces on that team. And there was a sense that if they could get a quarterback who could play to the level of the team or maybe even ahead of it, in other words, be a strength on the team.
There would be a lock.
So like in baseball, they used to look at wins and losses for starting pitchers, right? No one really does that anymore. But in the old days, if you knew what you were looking at, you would say, I don't want to just know his wins and losses. I want to know what his winning percentage is compared to the team he's pitching for, right? Like, is it better than the winning percentage of the team? That means he's helping you. Is it worse? Maybe he's not pitching up to the level of the team. What I'm saying is this about Dak Prescott. I think at best, his play is level to the team, but I think it's probably not quite. So I can't say it's a strength. The question is, Recently, it's been a weakness.
In games they won.
A weakness would be Jimmy Garoppolo not hitting Emmanuel Sanders when he needed to. That is a weakness. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Dak Prescott has that weakness in him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen him in the regular season.
Better arm, yeah.
And I've seen him in the postseason make a throw when they needed him to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't look at it as a weakness. Jimmy Garoppolo, can he make that throw? Kirk Cousins, can he make that throw?
Right.
I don't question whether or not Dak Prescott can make that throw when the money is on the line.
As I said, Key, that's a perfectly legitimate way to look at it. He can make the throw. The question is, will he when the money's on the line? And I guess what I'm saying right now
is
I'm skeptical.
Well, you won't know till you try, right?
That's right. But I'm skeptical. The way you were skeptical about the Dolphins traveling, right?
I'm still skeptical.
Yeah.
And
you've been proven the evidence. But the evidence showed that you were right to be skeptical. It doesn't mean that you were 100% certain. It means you suspected. I suspect that when it matters, Dak won't make that throw.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL are you not skeptical about?
How many quarterbacks am I? Or is
no,
I'm
you're not skeptical about Patrick Mahomes. You're not skeptical about Josh Allen, about Joe Burrow.
You're skeptical about Josh Allen, about what's going on with the Bills this season.
I'm not skeptical.
What's happened with the team and everything
happening? Let's put it this way. Ask me if Josh Allen's a strength on the Bills. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I asked you. I asked you how many quarterbacks are you not skeptical about? And you gave me maybe two.
No, I'm not skeptical about Joe Burrow.
All right, but those two are in the same division.
Josh I mean, they're in the same conference. I'm not skeptical about Jalen Hurts. That's four.
It's probably eight quarterbacks because he hasn't played in two games.
It's probably eight to ten quarterbacks
that I would not be skeptical about.
Okay.
Probably eight to ten of them.
Yeah, but I'm also giving you reasoning based upon currently what's happened where you are a little bit skeptical because Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts hasn't played in two games. We're wondering how he's going to come back
and play. What I'm saying is that Jalen Hurts has clearly been shown to be the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles. When he doesn't play, they don't win. Dak Prescott, when he didn't play, they won all but one of the games.
Yeah, but them was fake wins. Hold up.
Like, nobody was really having a serious conversation about whether
when Jalen Hurts didn't play, the Eagles went from they're the best team in football to they can't win.
No,
when Dak Prescott didn't play, they won all but one of their games.
Yeah, that's true, but the offense was different. The playbook was different then. The playbook was more geared toward holding the defense down and letting the defense do something. When they got a superior quarterback back in Dak Prescott, they went on a tear lead the league scoring points.
I get it. I guess what I'm saying is Dak, from an early moment, I felt like this guy's got it. I trust this guy under pressure. What I have seen, but I turn around 7 years later, it's true Rodgers made a miracle throw, and that's why he doesn't have two playoff wins. He was injured for one of those seven seasons, but however you slice it, he's year seven of his professional career. He's on a very good team every single season. He has one playoff win. He's been throwing interceptions recently, and I am skeptical now.
So you're saying that he's a weakness?
Yep.
I don't see him as a weakness. I see him as a serviceable quarterback that can make a play when he needs to.
Okay.
So it's kind of almost in between.
I'm with you, Jay, but if someone said it's binary, you have to say this way or that way. I can't go this way into strength. Not right now.
Thank God life isn't binary.
It's true.
But you can on Daniel Jones, though.
Yes, Daniel Jones. Yeah. Should Dallas rest their starters in the final week of the regular season? That's the question.
Max.
What does the amount of proms your quarterback attended say about them?
Oh, what a great question.
That is what we need
to know. That is the question.
This is the Keyshawn Johnson question. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're back after this.
Oh, God. The amount of...
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Every time I hear this song, my mind goes to the same place. You know, like dudes like LL or like Cube or some guys, Snoop, they are just stars. It didn't matter that they're rappers or not. Right, they were going to be stars. It's just what they are. That's why 30 years later, they're still superstars. I remember watching Crush Groove. Went to see it, graduation of fifth grade. That's when my elementary school ended, right? PS41. So a bunch of us went to see Crush Groove for graduation. I think, it was Crush Groove. Was it Beat Street? That might have been Beat Street. But anyway, Crush Groove comes out. Run DMC was breaking, right? Turbo. But Run DMC is holding auditions in the movie, right? And the auditions had just ended in the movie. But LL comes in, this 16-year-old kid, and you see Run DMC say, auditions are over, auditions are over. And LL's not paying it any mind. He goes, box, my radio, believe me, I like it loud. And right from that moment, you said, that's a superstar. That's it. Like some dudes, it's just, it
That's Patrick Mahomes' first preseason game, right? That's what that what LL was like in that moment. Like, okay, I've seen the truth. I've seen it. All right, so we have a prom meter, guys. Courtesy of Keyshawn Johnson. What is the number of proms that your quarterback attended say about them? Key, you seem to be the expert here. What is the number of proms? You were a serial prom goer.
Yeah.
What are the number of proms you attended say about you as a quarterback, let's say?
And I'm not happy about being a serial prom guy either, but oh well, it is what it is. I was a teenager.
By the way, when he was in high school, everybody. When you talk about when he was in high school.
It says a lot, right? I mean, I think when you look at somebody making it to the Super Bowl multiple times, that speaks volumes. Head coaches making it to Super Bowls multiple times. It's just something about the swag. It's something about what they are. And if I look at them from their personal lives and I just kind of glance at some of them dudes, people like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's a serial prom dude. He can't tell me nothing different. When I look at Joe done been – Joe probably done been to 3-4 different proms on the same day. I mean, that's because he has that, right? He just has that. The Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts got the look. He just, you know, very confident young man.
But Joe Burrow
or four.
Can't go on.
Three or four. Prom. Cam Newton when Cam was playing. Oh, he might have been to 10 Kangos. In one day.
I was a serial Kango wearer.
If he could have rocked Kangos back in the day, he would have.
But both know, kinds. So, the fisherman hat and the cap.
And the cap.
Where a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you look at him, you go, well, he went to one, and then he didn't want to go anymore.
Trevor Lawrence, did he go to one?
Trevor Lawrence is a one guy. Maybe went to one, didn't want to go anymore. It was boring. You know, and that's that style.
Dak Prescott.
He went to multiple.
Okay.
For sure.
Patrick Mahomes.
Hadn't gone to multiple playoffs. Patrick Mahomes.
Don't need to jab him.
Maybe one.
No, No, I got him before Max got him because Max was going to try to get him, but I wanted to get in front of Max. I would say Patrick Mahomes probably went to one.
All right, how about head coaches? I love this game. This game is the best.
Head coaches?
Let's go with head coaches. Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin went to many. Yeah, many. Oh, many. Yeah. Mike Tomlin, ex-football player.
For sure.
Robert
ex-football
Sala.
Ex-football player.
Robert Sala.
Many as he can attend.
Joe Judge.
No,
zero.
No, current coaches.
He hasn't been to any.
Andy
Reid. He didn't even get to go to his own prom.
Andy Reid won.
Yeah.
Andy Reid left his prom early to go to Burger King.
He left his prom early to go prep game plan.
Why would you leave Big Red alone, man? He left Jeez, early to go to Burger
details,
King.
Details, Patrick.
Y'all so mean.
He loves burgers.
You said who, Jay?
Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, EB went to a bunch.
Yeah, went to a bunch.
Yeah, but Andy Reid got credit for it. So,
but Andy Reid got credit for Eric Bieniemy going to prom, and he didn't even know EB then.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, he went to many.
He went to a gang of proms.
He went to many.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
we got told that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be an amazing prom date, but then he actually was just kind of okay.
But he kept going to them though.
Yeah, but Cliff
he cut the line.
Kept getting invited.
He reminds me of a guy that has gone to a prom or two and then go to proms by himself because he think he's just that cold, that he can show up by himself.
He kind of is, though. Like, I got to give it to him.
The house
there,
is cold.
There are pictures right now circulating that tell me maybe he
he's
is.
Cold.
But I'm saying he that
crib,
cool
the whole
dude,
thing.
Everything about
he's
it.
He's a cool dude where he goes to one or two and then he's like, oh, I'm just going to show up to the prom by myself anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Cliff Kingsbury, the dude to go to the prom, he has one certain type of suit on, and it matches like six or seven different dates.
Wait, it matches six or – wait, what?
Or he comes with an all-black tux on,
mm-hmm.
and he has six dates that happen to have the same type of colors as him. Like, oh, we match with the corsage because he's going singular by himself.
Yeah.
Mike
I'm
McDaniel.
Telling you, he is single – he going by himself.
Mike McDaniel at
Mike
the prom?
Mike McDaniel, Key.
No.
No?
Mike McDaniel was the prom coordinator. He coordinated the whole prom. He
set it up.
He did. He set it up. Are you going? No, I'm not going. I have too much to do. And by the way, I got to tell you, the prom went on without a hitch. Everyone was like, this is the best prom. Who put this together? It was Mike McDaniel. Yeah.
No. Don't say no him and Sean McVay.
Not Sean McVay?
Oh man, Sean McVay was probably he probably was at 100 of them.
Yeah, many proms.
Yeah, and McDaniel was if you look at his bio, he probably was the president of his class, and I mean, you know, that's just his.
He was on the prom committee. It went off without a hitch. They couldn't believe how well everything went. He didn't actually attend, but you know, he was on the committee.
He didn't get invited because he refused to shower.
Oh, who?
God. He didn't get invited because he refused
to
shower.
Who are we talking about, though?
Mike McDaniel, the only coach that doesn't shower.
He's fine.
But there's certain coaches you can look at and be like, he was a serial prom dater.
What about Matt LaFleur?
100% serial prom dater. Mm-hmm. Quiet, though. Act like he's not interested. But
guys,
he's
you start to worry about. He's too quiet.
He's going from, you know.
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, so he has some swag.
Brian been to more than one.
I think he always punks above his weight.
He went to his senior prom, Jay. He wasn't a freshman going to senior proms. He had to wait to his senior prom to go.
Yeah, but when he got there, though, he went to multiple. He started to hit his stride.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he's
at first everyone was like, you're going with Daboll? And then they're like, no, he's great.
Because see, Daboll just seemed like a serious guy.
It's amazing. You know, the guy's like, he's just such a good personality friend.
Like, it's so funny because if you watch Mike Tomlin talk about anything or Daboll talk about anything, you can see why guys want to play for him. Like, there's authenticity. There's like a certain connection you make with people, and you could just see the real. You said it. I forgot how you phrased it the other day, Key. But there's basically an authenticity or a realness that leads to success, right? And those guys got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know the good head coaches and their personalities from the phony ones all day long. You just do. It's so many phony head coaches in professional sports. You know, I remember a coach got a job, you know, moved up the ladder. He was totally different than what he was 2 weeks earlier. I mean, you know, 2 weeks later, it was like, say, man, it's still me. You know, it's like, hey, you forgot where you was at, bruh.
Key, I got one for you.
Who?
Bill Belichick.
I'm going to college.
I'm already on to graduation.
I'm going to college.
Yeah, right. Before the prom even happened, Belichick was taking a summer course that started early.
Bill went to two. He went to one his junior year, one his senior year.
He's scouting, though?
His guy is scouting.
That was it.
Landscape.
He went to his junior prom and his senior prom. That's it. He didn't do anything else because he was too focused on trying to figure out what the offense was going to do.
I'm going to college.
I'm really focused on
that. But you can tell the head coaches and the quarterbacks, man, it really – you can look at their personalities. It's just something unique about head coaches and quarterbacks' personalities – that make you go, this is what it's going to take to win a championship. You know, I don't know boring head coaches that win championships. I just don't.
Belichick not boring?
No.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
You just got to know him. He's boring to you because you don't know him. Like, you don't have a chance to sit down with
boring.
That dry
humor. Win without Tom Brady.
You know?
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max back tomorrow.
Hey, Max, we still got a minute left, Bell.
Oh.
I go a minute here.
You know what? I'm talking about the old clock. We got another minute.
I was wondering what you were doing.
I mean, you did a great job getting us to break there.
I got us to break. It's just from the old clocks I got us to break. All right, I'm out of here. See you later. That's all. I'm contracted till 54:10. Then I got to leave.
He's focusing on trying to remember how many proms he went to.
How many proms did you go to, Max?
Never mind.
How many proms did you go to?
I'll tell you the truth. I went to two proms.
And two proms?
Yeah.
In 1 year? Or just two proms overall?
Overall. Two proms, one after another.
Yeah. That ain't even.
Same girl, different girl. Molly Carroll wanted me to ask.
Two different girls.
Two different girls.
That wasn't even in the first 5 hours.
One is a junior,
Jay.
One is a senior.
I mean, what do you think? Look, Jay,
proms were expensive.
What's wrong with you? Why?
lot of money to go to proms at an early age.
I went to at least two proms starting my freshman year on. What do you want me to lie?
Now.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.